Lord, this day, as we gather together in this room, Lord, we just give thanks. We give thanks that you have removed the blinders of our eyes, the hardness of our hearts, that we would see the truth of the gospel. And Lord, we recognize, though, all around us, people are deceived by the evil one. And you say our battle's not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and principalities and the evil one, and for us to put on the full armor of faith and to stand and to be ready to defend what we believe. And so, Lord, I'm asking that today, as we begin this series of brave courage, this idea of being courageous in our day and time, Lord, that we would see how vital it is. And Lord, that we would be empowered by your Holy Spirit to do so. For Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen. Well, like I said, we have stopped Romans for the summer. We're going to pick Romans back up at the beginning of September. But over the course of the summer, we're going to deal with this issue, this theme, this topic of being brave, right? God's desire for his people to have courage. And it's interesting, over the last couple of weeks while I've been gone, this issue of bravery and courage has been in the news. Just yesterday, one of the media channels, some of you saw what happened in Dallas, right? This individual shooting up a police station and stuff. I kid you not. You can go online and you can see this stuff. One of the major news networks said this about the gunman, that his actions were brave and courageous. It's unbelievable, right? A couple of weeks ago, there was this story about this individual, right? There's an awards ceremony. You guys familiar with this story? The ESPYs. Every year, ESPN gives kind of their Academy Awards or whatever. They give out trophies to the best team, like it's been the Miami Heat the last couple of years, or the Florida State Seminoles, you know, those kind of teams. You know, it's giving out awards to the best athlete or the play of the year or whatever. But one of the awards they give out is the Arthur Ashe Profile of Courage. And this year, ESPN has decided that they're going to give the Profile of Courage Award to Bruce Jenner for what he has done in his life, the courage it took to come out and to go through this process of becoming what he's become and just celebrating that lifestyle. Well, ESPN has had some significant pushback. Because the interesting thing was, all last year, ESPN trumpeted this young lady in the bottom corner with the basketball named Lauren Hill. Any of you know her story? Lauren, high school, college age student, battling cancer, just wanted to play in one more basketball game. So ESPN follows her, and they're doing all these stories and documentaries and all the emotional things that ESPN likes to do to get the women involved in their network. And they actually showed the game where this girl played her college basketball, this last game. She got in for a few minutes, and she's died since that time. And so many have said, ESPN, the face of courage is that woman, not the magazine cover person. And many people have said, well, I'm never watching ESPN again if they give that award, but we all know that's not true. ESPN knows that's not true. Next time your favorite team plays or something's on, it's important, you'll go back and watch it, and this will all blow over, right? But they're giving courage to this individual. And so it got me thinking, what is real courage? Who needs courage in a day like today? And I want you to hear me on this. The people who need courage more than anybody else in this day and age are the people that are sitting in this room. You, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you need courage. Let me show you why. One of the issues is because we're experiencing a moral revolution internally like we've never seen in our nation. You have individuals like Tony Campolo this week. Any of you familiar with him? Comes out in support of gay marriage. Christian minister, been doing ministry for a long time. Here's his statements. He says, it was his own relationship with his wife and many same-sex couples that they know as they spent time with them that persuaded him that the primary purpose of marriage is about spiritual growth. He also wrote, homosexuality is almost never a choice, and the church should offer love and acceptance to those who have same-sex attraction. And these are his direct quotes. It has taken countless hours of prayer, study, conversation, and emotional turmoil to bring me to the place where I'm finally ready to call for the full acceptance of Christian gay couples into the church. The guy with the glasses in the bottom with the beard, a former editor for Christianity Today, came out in support of Tony Campolo's statement, agreeing with him. And the backlash has been, many have trumpeted this past week, this issue of homosexual marriage is the defining line for this age. You cannot be wishy-washy. You cannot sit on the fence. You're going to have to make a decision one way or the other. And what you're finding is all around us, denominations, we've talked about this, but all around us, denominations are caving in, agreeing with, promoting sinful lifestyles, saying God is pleased with this. Rejecting Scripture, affirming flesh. And here we are, a growing minority. More and more statistics show that America is okay, supportive of homosexual marriage. There's a greater percentage of Americans who support it now than are opposed to it. There's no stopping it at this point, outside of the Lord doing a dramatic intervention. And it's going to happen in Florida if it, you know, they're already doing things along this line. And it's going to impact this church. And someday, in some future, somebody's going to come and we're going to have to deal with that issue of telling them no and why and all those sorts of things. Nobody's immune. You got to know where you stand right now. But it's not just internal pressures from the church, but you also have things like this, external pressures. All of you have seen this photo, right? People of the cross, the followers of the hostile Egyptian church. That's what that Arabic says. We all know what happened to them. They were martyred. They were killed because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And for some of us, we just think, well, that's something way over there, and it's not happening here, and all that kind of stuff. Look at this next slide. Every month, 322 Christians are killed for their faith. Every month. That's not the book of Acts. That is right now. So while we're, I said in the first service, while we're out living the American dream and worried about upgrading cars and upgrading to the newest iPhone, our fellow believers around the world are being killed because they say, I believe in Christ. That takes bravery. 214 churches and Christian properties were destroyed every month around the world. So while we complain about carpet colors and lights and whether or not people can use our fellowship hall, churches are being burnt. Kind of puts things in perspective, doesn't it? 772 forms of violence are committed against Christians every month. Beatings, torture, rape, arrests, imprisonment. All over the globe. It's not just in the Middle East where this is happening. North Korea, it happens. It happens all over the place. And it's going to become increasingly popular here. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just calling us to know we need to be brave. Look, today, Christ-exalting, Bible-believing, sin-rejecting believers need God-empowered courage like never before. I hope every one of you in this room is that Christ-exalting, that your life, you say, is not my own, but I've been bought with a price, Christ in me, the hope of glory, right? That I'm a Bible-believing, that I believe what Scripture says with all of my heart, that I'm rejecting sin, that I'm pursuing holiness and righteousness with everything that I have in my life. That's who I want to be. I want my life to reflect the glory and honor of the one who gave himself for me. If that is you, you need courage because all around us, people who say they're believers and people who hate believers are coming after us. Which which is why we need to deal with this issue of courage and bravery for the Christian. Let me invite you to turn in your Bible to Joshua chapter 1, having that as our background. This will kind of set the theme for what we're going to look at the next few weeks. We're going to look at how to have bravery in the face of, you know, persecution, in the face of, you know, struggles and other things, and being brave in sharing the gospel, being brave in dealing with family relationships. Right? We're going to deal with a bunch of different dynamics. But today we're going to lay down a foundation of how we can have courage as believers. And probably the classic passage where we find this issue of bravery is found in Joshua chapter 1. Look, let me remind you, bring your Bibles. If you regularly attend here, bring a Bible. If you don't know what Bible to get, talk to me. We can tell you. Take the black Bible in the pew in front of you. Take it. Use it. Take it home. Bring it back, right? We put these up here for guests, but for if you're a regular attender, bring your Word. Bring the Word. That's what we preach. That's what we believe. Bring the Bible. Highlight it. Circle it. Look at it. Joshua 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, rise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let me give some context as a reminder to what's going on here. Israel was promised the promised land, but Joshua and Caleb were the only spies who came back and gave a good report, and as a result of that, for 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness, experiencing God's judgment because of disobedience. Finally, all of those individuals who are 20 and above have died off, except Joshua and Caleb. And now God is using Joshua to take them into the promised land. So it's now, it's a new leader. Moses is dead. He doesn't get to go. Joshua is the new man. It's a new mission, right? They're heading in to take these cities, to fulfill God's promises to them. And it's this new location. And so it's all these things are going on. And so God is encouraging his servant as they're getting ready to go over, go with boldness and with courage. Notice first in this text, he tells them to be strong and courageous. To be strong, we think of to be physically strong, and that's part of it, but it also means to have influence, to have ability. But the other dynamic is, it's like a levee in New Orleans, holding up the water, to be firm. When things start coming against you and pressure is pressing in, be strong and hold back the tide. Being courageous is just kind of an adjective in many ways of describing this boldness, this being strong. It means to be determined. And so what God is saying is, be a person of strength, be a person of power, of influence, be willing to stand, be bold, be determined in your lifestyle. And I think what he was saying is you need these things against two peoples. One, you need these against these external enemies. They're getting ready to go into the promised land. Who's over there in the promised land? Enemies, right? God didn't just send them in and all the nations just fall down and say, here, take our land. They battled them. People died. They met opposition. They even lose battles. Remember the battle of Ai? After Jericho, because of Achan's sin, they lose, right? And so God, I think, is trying to fortify Joshua. Be strong. Don't give in. Don't cave in. Don't worry. I'm calling you. I'm with you. I was with Moses. I'll be with you. You will be successful. But it's not just against external enemies. I think he's also saying, be bold, be firm, be strong against internal enemies. And by internal, I just mean by the people of God. This is still Israel. And Israel has a tendency to complain. Don't you think there were some people who looked at Joshua and said, you're not Moses. You're too young. You don't lead like Moses led. And then Joshua gets to Jericho and he tells them, here's the strategy, folks. Here's how we're going to take Jericho. You don't think some of those people looked at him and said, are you kidding me? You're the leader of us in the promise? We're going to die. Don't you think there would have been self-doubt if it wasn't the Lord encouraging him and saying, I want you to be strong, I want you to be firm, I want you to be bold, I want you to be courageous about what you're about to encounter? And just as God is calling Joshua to be bold and courageous, he's calling each of us as well. Every one of you, whether you recognize it or not, are ambassadors, missionaries for the living God. You all have jobs, you all have things, some of you are retired, right? But every one of you, at the end of the day, are here because Christ has redeemed you, and he has said, you are to be my witnesses, and you're to make disciples of all nations, which means you're to go take the spiritual land which God has waiting for him. And therefore, you need to be brave, strong, courageous, because you're going to have external enemies. The government is going to be opposed to us, increasingly so, regardless of political party. We're going to lose tax-exempt status as churches. All these things that we've held so strong and dear for a long time, I mean, there's going to be drastic changes in the coming years. We've got to be bold and strong, not to cave in, not to be expedient, not to worry about size or about what people think about us, not to want the approval of man rather than God, right? But we also need to be strong against internal pressures as a believer. And here's where you need to see it. You need to know this. Every one of you in this room in the next few years, we're going to have to deal with this issue of homosexual marriage personally. Or some type of sexual issue in your family, personally. It's to the point now where, you know, it used to be like everybody knows somebody who has cancer. Now everybody kind of knows somebody in their family who's gay or trying to get married to a gay, have a gay marriage. This 2 weeks that we were on vacation, 3 different times I ran into people who had a gay sister or a gay relative who was getting married. 2 of those situations, the person who was gay was in ministry. And what's going to happen is the people who are related to them closely are going to be accepting of their lifestyle. And if you're a believer, Christ-exalting, Bible-believing, sin, you know, rejecting, you're wanting to honor Christ with all that you have, and you're going to see that, and you're going to make statements, and they're going to look at you, and they're going to be angered at you. Why don't you get on board? You're so old school. You're so outdated. Don't you know what the Bible says, right? They're going to say all these types of things to you. You need to be brave and strong in those moments and not cave in. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword. And it's going to be families against families, fathers against children. It will happen. It's going to happen. You can be bold and strong in a loving way, but you need to recognize, you need to prepare yourself with boldness and courage to stand for what is right and what is true. Which leads to the second point, and that's this. The means of this courage, the ability that we have to be strong and courageous, comes from the study and the obedience to the Bible. Notice what God tells Joshua. Be strong and courageous, verse 7, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't turn from it to the right or the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Listen to me. There's no other way to put this. Bible study, Bible reading, Bible memorization is vital for us in this day and time. It's vital. You might have been able to get by in days past just kind of coming to church and hearing a message or going to a Sunday school class and hearing Don or somebody else, but we don't live in those days anymore. We don't live in the days when people generally went to church and people generally believed in God and people generally believed in scriptures. We said on Wednesday night, Barna said West Palm Beach has the greatest percentage of people who've never gone to church in the whole nation. West Palm Beach. Over a 10-year period in that study. That's where you live, folks. What he told Joshua was, obey the word. Study the word. Teach the word. Let it come from your mouth. You're going to be leading these people. If you're going to be their leader, you've got to be in the word. You've got to know what the word says. You've got to be living what the word says. And you're commanded to teach others. That sounds a little bit like what Ezra said. It was Ezra's desire to study the law of God, to do the word, to teach it to others, that kind of priority. Isn't it interesting that instead of telling Joshua, okay, Joshua, you're getting ready to go into the promised land, what I want you to do is look around at all the other militaries and look how they fight, determine what's the best military strategy, determine what the best missiles and, how you're going to take people out. He didn't tell them that, did he? He said, you're getting ready to go take the promised land, and what your weapon of war is what? This, being in the Word, knowing the Word, hearing the Word. Why? Because God speaks through His Word. This Word is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword, right? And God has told us what we need to know, how we're to live through this Word. And what God does mysteriously, powerfully, is as we read this Word, the Holy Spirit brings illumination to us and we understand it, right? God speaks to us through His Word. So He's telling Joshua, be in the Word. If you're not in the Word, you will not be strong, brave, or courageous. You'll be weak. And what I mean by that is when somebody else comes up and says, well, I believe this about this issue, or I believe this about gay marriage, if you don't know what the Bible says, you're not going to spout off. You're not going to share truth. You're just going to sit quietly, and you're going to think, well, I don't really know what I believe because I really don't know the Bible, and they said a couple Bible verses, so I guess maybe they're right. Don said it. That's how cults get you. That's how the evil one deceived Eve. If we're not in the Word, we won't be strong. A few years ago, we did a Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University class here. We're going to do one again this fall. And one of the things Dave says is this, 75% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. Meaning, if you lost your job, the likelihood is, if things don't dramatically change in a quick way, you would lose your home, car, have great financial stress. And he said is, most people never stop to think about how they spend their money. It's not that people don't have money, it's just they just spend money and they don't know what they spend money on. Most people don't live on budgets. Most people don't look at what they spend, how much they spend. I mean, just right now, do you know how much you spent this last month in May on going out to eat? Right? Or could you find that out pretty easily? Did you even look, go back, check it out, right? No, it's not a money problem as much as it is we don't know. We have no idea. We don't have a plan. We don't have a strategy. That is the same issue with Scripture, I believe. We don't have a plan for reading the Bible. And it's not that we don't have time to read the Bible, but it's this. We are spending our time on other things, but we're not taking in an evaluation of our life to see how we're spending our time. And then people will say this, well, I just don't have time to read Scripture. No, you do. We do. We spend it on other things. You have money, you just spend it on other things. You can read the Word, you just use that time on other things. Y'all, get this. If you're not in the Word, you will be crushed in the days ahead. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to wake you up to what God is calling His church to. This is an easy example, but it's important. Our Scripture must supersede our desire for Facebook, for Twitter, for Instagram, for Pinterest, for the newspaper, right? Those are all things that most people in this room do in one way or another. We wake up in the morning, I got to see what's on Facebook, see what's happening, right? Let me ask you this. When persecution comes, when difficulties happen in your life, is it going to help you to know what somebody ate for dinner last night? Or is it going to help you to know what God has said in His Word? I'm not saying Facebook's bad. I mean, I get on Facebook some. But the problem is we're wasting our valuable resource, which is time. It is really one of our greatest enemies because it's always moving. It's always ticking. My oldest just turned 11 yesterday. I know that's young for a lot of you. But for us, we're like, oh my gosh, where did time go, right? We all recognize time is fleeting. We waste it on so much stuff. It's not valuable and will not help. Some of you will say, well, you know what, I wake up late and I go to work and I don't have time. You know what? It's a clock. I know what time it is. Don't worry. On the clock, that same app that you check Facebook with, you can download apps that are called Bible apps. So when you say, well, I don't have time during the day to read the Bible. No, you do. Every time you check Facebook, you could read a chapter or a paragraph of Scripture, right? Every one of you in this room are capable of reading through the entire Bible this year without problem. Very few of you will. Very few of you, if any, will. And y'all, we're not going to be able to stand and have courage and boldness if God's Word is not permeating through us. Third, there is a reward for this courage. It's called a blessed life. Look at verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night. Not just casually, but mean really think about it. So you may be careful to do what is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. He's not saying this is a name it, claim it, prosperity gospel type of thing, but what he is saying is if we will live by the Word, if we will stand firm on the Word, if we will have courage to say, thus says the Lord, thus says the Word, this is how I'm going to live, we will be blessed. And let me show you very quickly what that looks like. Keep your finger there in Joshua. Look over at Psalm chapter 1. Because it's almost as if these two chapters were just plagiarized from each other. I know not really, but you know what I mean. Look at Psalm 1 says. And y'all, don't hear me as like being mad or angry. I'm just trying to get you the intensity of what we're talking about today. This is vital for us. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Doesn't that sound a little bit like Joshua 1? He'll be blessed if he studies the Word and doesn't go after sin. He goes on. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and the leaves do not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so. They're like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. When you're living according to the word, you will have blessings in your life. Let me give you a golf example, okay? In golf, if somebody's on the tee and they shank it, they hit the ball, they hook it, they slice it, and it goes sideways, just think Don at this moment. Don hits the ball, it hits a tree, but it bounces back into the fairway. Do you know what people say? They say, you must be living right. Or you must be clean living. That's just kind of a little golf slang. But you know what they mean there? Man, you must be right with the Lord, because if I hit a ball in the trees eat it. Right? I mean, that's what people think. I always hit the fairway, so I'm not worried about it. But people like Don, I wouldn't lie. I'm in church. All right. So you know what I mean? You're living right. You're blessed because you're doing the right thing, right? That's the idea there. So it is with us. Let me just give you two real examples. Remember the guy named Joseph? God had given him a vision. Here's what you're going to do. I'm going to live according to that promise, that dream. Yeah, my brothers sell me off. Yeah. But I go over there into Egypt, and what happens to him? He seems to be blessed. He doesn't sleep with Potiphar's wife. He lives according to the word of God. Yeah, he goes into jail for a little while, but what? It says the Lord was with him. He raises him up out of jail, and ultimately Joseph sits in a position of power and authority, and his life of blessing blesses others. Isn't that amazing? By obedience to the word of God. Oh, what about Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Remember those boys? They go into Babylon. What happens there? Eat the king's food. No, we will not defile ourselves with this worldly stuff. We're going to honor the Lord. We're going to keep his word. And what happened when they did that? They were blessed. Their appearance was better. They were stronger, better, fitter, everything. And they were received blessings, and God moves them up the ranks, and they're appointed to positions. Why? Because they lived according to the word. You might think you're getting ahead in the eyes of the world by doing the things of the world, but God is telling you, if you will live according to his word, you will be blessed. So maybe that means you'll be blessed and God will honor you and you'll have some kind of promotion in your job. Maybe it means there'll be things like this. You'll have favor or success with others around you. Maybe it might just mean when you live according to the word, you'll be blessed because you have a spirit of peace on your heart and in your life. Isn't it good to be able to lay your head down at night knowing this day I honored the Lord in my thoughts and actions, and I'm not worried about what I've done today dishonored him, or somebody's going to find out about a lie that I'm in, or a Ponzi scheme, or whatever the situation is, right? Your clean hands and a pure heart gives a sense of security and blessing. Well, how do you do that? Well, by living according to the word. And some of you need to hear that and put it into play. But check this out. The last thing Joshua is told is that there's this promise for his courage. Verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened, and don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What a great promise. Look at it up here with me on the screen. Next slide. Check it out. Have I not commanded you, be strong? I want you to see that. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. He's telling Joshua that because he knows that's what happens to us. It happens to us all. We grow discouraged. We grow fearful. Don't. Why? For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Is there not a better promise than that? Be courageous and don't fear, because I am with you. That sounds to me a little bit like Matthew 28. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing, you know, that. And what does he say? Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. The same concept there. He's with us as we go, making disciples, sharing the gospel, proclaiming Christ. That doesn't mean you won't experience persecution. That doesn't mean you won't experience hardship. Joseph did, Daniel did, but in every circumstance, God was glorified in their life, right? He showed himself mighty and strong. And in your life as well. Think about it. We just said it a couple weeks ago in Romans 8. If God is for us, who or what can be against us? Yeah, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. Oh, and guess what? Those of us who are believers in Christ, we get to be part of that kingdom forever. Forever. So when we take a stand for Christ, when we do what the Bible says, we can know that God is with us. Billy Graham used to say, with God, one is a majority. I don't know if my math teacher would go for that, but I think God agrees. All right? So let me just close up. This is the foundation for us as we press on throughout the rest of the summer. We're going to be looking at examples of courage and different means throughout Old Testament stories. But listen, for you here today, God is calling us to be people of courage, to be strong, to be bold, to believe with all of our heart what His Word says, to live it with every ounce of our being, to worship Him with our mind, heart, soul, and strength to say, God, you are worth more than all the treasures of the world. Isn't that what the evil one offered Jesus? Worship me and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. That's what he gives so many people. Worship me and I'll give you fame and popularity and money. All the while, God is saying, don't do that. Don't give in. Be bold, be strong. Knowing that God will bless us for that bravery, obedience, courage. Let me just give one little challenge here today, and we'll close. For some of you here, some of you, a way that you can be brave is to do an honest assessment of your life and how you engage the Word of God, even today. See, the person who doesn't, you don't want to look at it, you don't want to think about it because you know your finances are in a mess, right? You don't want to think about it because you know your Bible reading's in a mess. You don't have a plan. You've not been doing it. It takes a brave person to acknowledge, I've got a problem and I need to get it fixed. But today, you're never going to be brave in any other situation if you will not make the Bible your priority for your life. You can say, oh, Pastor, you're just blowing smoke up there. I don't know what else to tell you. If you're not going to invest the Word in your life, you will fall. You will give in, you will cave, pressures will come, and you will acquiesce. Only those people who are hiding God's Word in their heart will not sin against Him. That's what he says. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your Word. I've hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against God. So bravery in saying, am I really reading, believing, living God's Word? And if not, be brave enough to make changes in your life even today. Let's pray. Lord, we need courage this day like maybe no generation of American Christians have ever needed it before. But Lord, the good news is you've showed us how. Obey your Word, you're with us, you'll bless us. So Lord, whatever comes against us, external, internally, Lord, we know we can stand because we're not standing on our own, we're standing on the promises of your Word. We're standing on the promises that you are faithful and you will do what you have said. We're standing believing that you, O Lord, are mighty to save, not just salvifically, but in every calamity and disaster, you can deliver your people. So, oh Lord, would we believe that? Would we not fear men? Would we not fear what they would do against us? Would we not desire popularity or love of the world? Because love of the world is to be an enemy of God. Oh Lord, would we love you more than we love anything else? And would we show it by our investing your word in our hearts so that we would be brave and courageous when sin and evil come our way? Oh Lord, we pray these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. This morning, maybe you want to come and